Blog Talk Radio.
All I want is you. All
on mute all the time. Sorry. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy. And we worship him and we seek him and we marvel at his majesty and we bow to his holiness. We come to share and to present our minds, our hearts, and our bodies, and our soul to the word of God so that it may bathe us and transform us with the atmosphere of heaven so that we properly represent the kingdom of God on the earth realm. And we present to the world the answer that they so desperately are in need of. And as our author shares with us as we walk through the sevenfold spirit of God, and we're realizing that this walk is to be done in the flow of the seven functions of the Holy Spirit, these seven functions, these seven flows, these seven anointings that is being granted to us as we have come up hither. You can't really get it if you stay grounded in the world. You got to let go of the world and come up hither. Come up to a place where all limits have been taken off. They've been taken off. They have been exposed. And we see now the truth. And there is no limit in God. God can do everything. And we've said it. We know it. It was information that we learned. It was scriptures that we memorized. And now he's giving us the wisdom of when to use it and then the understanding of why we use it. Hallelujah. And once we understand and we get this wisdom, then we're able to see this picture that God has. The author talks about through the chapters on wisdom about this blueprint of heaven that he has for us. It's been written before the foundation of the earth, and he has been revealing it to us one measure at a time. We can't look at the whole blueprint, because if we did, like it is true with a physical blueprint, we probably really wouldn't know what we were looking at. And even if we knew what we were looking at, we couldn't imagine it because we don't have a frame of reference. And he understands that. So as he walks with us, as he nurtures us and teaches us and guides us and draws us closer and closer to him, he reveals more and more of the details of this blueprint. This blueprint is a part of his divine blueprint for his creation. When he created all the things, he had a plan for them. He had a structure for them. He had a place for everything to fit. There were cycles that caused everything to flow together. There was a power that was going to that is maintaining it. There is a responsibility that he gave to his creation for to do different things to the trees. They were supposed to be the part of that kept the oxygen in the air, and it said the birds had a place to stay. It gave shade to man. Everything had a purpose and a function. The squirrels were to eat the nuts and to scatter them all over the place so the trees would grow in different places. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a blueprint that it must function according to the desire of its creator. The sun was to shine in day and the moon by night. The stars were to hang. All of these things were ordained, created, and they are a part of God's blueprint. God's blueprint in portion has become a clear picture because we see his creation. Now, we don't see the depth of his creation because we don't often have an understanding of it. Because we just don't understand, first of all the things he's created. He created worlds. There are so many worlds within this world that we just don't have any idea of. and they function every day. They function every moment, not just every day. There are those that function at night. There are others that only function in the day. Some only function in the summer. Some only function in the wintertime. All of the things that he created, it has a purpose, it has a plan, and it has a structure in which it is to flow. And that was also true of us. One thing that happened because of the dominion that he had given to man and man's sin. And so as a result, our sin has taken a toll, if you will, on all of creation. I was just amazed when you watch some of the Disney channels or Discovery channels and you see all the lives of insects and fish that are so far beneath the ocean water that most people have never seen it. They had ever never seen the sunlight. There are just so many worlds that exist that God created, not by chance and not from anything. He created them from his invisible desire, his mind. It wasn't he turned nothing into something. What he did was manifest what was there in him. And that is the understanding that he needs us to grasp. The author sets up a good foundation for us as it relates to wisdom, which came before understanding, but it is coupled with understanding, is coupled with wisdom. The two that are kind of said together, and the author shares the candlestick, and they're kind of grouped together on the candlestick where they stand side by side. And so he shared, and we kind of touched the surface last week on understanding and this word, this spirit of understanding, and a definition he gives on many occasions throughout this chapter. But the first that he gave to us was the fact that understanding is the ability to put two and two together. I love that. And it shows you that what you're able to do. You're able to move in wisdom, which is the creative ability, but you move in wisdom because you understand and build according to that blueprint of heaven. And I'll be functioning scripture through most of this is for wisdom and understanding is Moses being given the blueprint for the tabernacle, the blueprint for the tabernacle. God is so consistent. He is so consistent, and when you read his word, he has revealed even his strategies. Okay, so just as the tabernacle had a blueprint, just like the world has a blueprint, the earth has a blueprint, and there is a blueprint for us. He doesn't ask us to, as he communicates with us, he communicates with us because his desire is to communicate his blueprint for us. And in doing so, we have to grow from grace to grace. And so it is a process, and we're understanding it is a process, and it is not one that we are in charge of. He said he started it, and he will perfect it, and he will finish it. So he kind of takes our hands off of it. That's his intention, even though we don't always obey and we leave our hand on it. But he keeps the job of the Holy Spirit is allow us to realize you don't have to do this because, first of all, and final, Christ said it's finished. So it is done already because the blueprint is written. We are just receiving the manifestation of what it would look like. And so as we ended last week with the Daniel 10 through 14 scripture about suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision referred to many days yet to come. And so we see all of the benefits, all of the all of the plan of the Lord in this just this one set of verses for Daniel's life. And he showed up where he'd been, how he got there, and where God was going to take him, and assured him that because I love this, it's really a mirror of if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, then will I hear from heaven and I will. Those are promises. And this was also a declaration that he made to Daniel. And he let him know that from the day you humbled your heart before me, when you sought not your own understanding, but you set your heart to understand me and to humble yourself before me, he said, your words were heard. That's it. You have power. I love that champion song. It says, when I open my mouth, miracles happen. That's because he has given us this power that he will hear us when we open our mouth. And he said, and I will come because of your words. So that lets us know our words have power. And not only do they have power to create, they also have power that will destroy and that will kill and that will steal. Because sometimes we let our words be motivated by the enemy of God and his whole desire, because he knows some of the blueprint and he knows the power that we have. And so he deceives us into thinking that we are not the greatly beloved. He deceives us in believing that we are not the apple of God's eye and that we actually have to do this on our own. And he's just such a hard taskmaster, because he's asking us to do these things that we can't do them, and we stumble and we fall, even though he says a righteous man, but he gets back up. But the thing is, the enemy wants to deceive us so that we won't walk in the glory and the authority that God has given us. And so I love it, because the author shares later on the fact that many Christians, we stumble. It says because we are ignorant. And some of us are ignorant of all of the Word of God, and some people really have not read the whole Bible. He said, but most of us are ignorant because of not knowing our human motives or our wrong deceptions and dependencies and misconceived priority. There you go, is that search for significance. The light needs to be turned on so that we know these things. And they are human motives. Sometimes we didn't realize we were motivated by the very wrong things. We weren't motivated by the Word of God. We had knowledge of the Word of God. We knew it. We read it. We memorized it. We even not understood, but we had the wisdom that the knowledge of the Word would give. But we didn't have an understanding of the power and of the authority that Word has, that truth has, that Scripture has, that promise has. And so I looked at this chapter as this understanding as connecting the dots. You often had little games where you had to go from 1, 2, 3, and it looked like a bunch of dots, just numbers scattered on a page. But once you followed the numbers, when you followed the progression of numbers, you started to see a picture develop. And that's what understanding is. Wisdom tells you it's a picture. You know, you may not know what it is. Knowledge tells you 1 comes after 2 comes after 3. You have that. But now you need the understanding. You will visualize that picture will come as a manifestation when all of the dots are put together. And that's what understanding is. It's something that the Lord is trusting us to receive. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so now this is a scripture. We read it, we've memorized it, we've recited it probably hundreds of times in our lifetime, and we knew it was true. We knew that it was true. We had the knowledge of it. We believed it. We believed it. And we would use it at certain times to help us accomplish something that we couldn't accomplish. We would use it to remind ourselves, you know, he will direct my path. I'm not sure where I go. Well, I'm going to acknowledge his presence. But now we are getting to the place where we're going to understand why we need the scripture. And it goes beyond us accomplishing something we want to accomplish, but it goes into us becoming what God has blueprinted us to be. Because what it does is it causes us to, there's like a whole strategy in that one, in these two verses. It's a whole strategy of tearing down every thought that rises up, leaning, or in other words, trusting in the Lord, and that entails believing, that entails experiencing him, and then learning to depend on who he is, understanding there's no good thing in your flesh, this understanding that our wisdom is like filthy, our works are like filthy rags, but our wisdom is so far beneath him, we can't begin to understand. And so just those two verses, they have so much in them. He said, in all your ways, and then to understand all, in everything you do. We'll say in certain things, we're going to acknowledge God because we think that's too hard and I can't do it. But he says in everything, in every way you go, every way you think, every way you your emotions will go, acknowledge him. And do not lean on your own experience, your own human understanding. He said, and then he will direct our path. So now that's a promise. And that he, his Holy Spirit, will direct you. Because the flow of Holy Spirit in your life is the river of ability that's going to come from heaven and directly to you, because you're plugged into the Holy Spirit given to you as a promise when you first believe. And so he says he'll be with you always, and it tells you even what his tasks are going to be in our life, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so even knowing that, now understanding how it all has to go together, understanding you can't just have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the wisdom. You have to have the understanding, and we'll find the other four things. And now the other four things that are going to be necessary for it to flow into perfection and into completion. And so he lets us know that there are things that we depend on. Remember, he said we are ignorant because we have wrong dependencies. And so there are things that we depend on that have to be burnt off of us. It has to. It is wood. It's hay. It's stubble, and it's not going to sustain where we have to go and what he is requiring of us. And he knows that. But he is a God that with long suffering and loving kindness, he draws us, he gets us, he perfects us, and he provides what we need in order to accomplish this perfect blueprint that he has for us. Something that no one has ever seen before, because each one of us is a unique creation, and we are created for a specific purpose that is unique for us. And this body of the blueprint will produce is one that is a worship center, the way to worship him. That's what the tabernacle was going to be, their worship center, their place to meet him. And now we have him continuously with us because Jesus came and paved the way to send us the Comforter, the God of all peace, the Teacher. And so we are being groomed, if you will, or we're being perfected is what we are. We're being perfected, precept upon precept, and it is a process. And so as we see these scriptures that we've had, now we're going to see them differently. We're going to see them deeper. They're going to connect some dots that really were just like scattered numbers on a page. Now we're going to see the picture like, that's what God means. So that's what that understanding is. It's like getting the light being turned on. I love it. He says it's not groping and hoping. It is God. It's like it is authority and confidence. The disciples in Acts said they wanted to know God's predetermined will before the foundation of the earth so they could speak with boldness. So this boldness is a confidence that you get from knowing he's got the blueprint, and now he's let me see this part of it. And so in knowing that the God of glory has made it and will sustain it and will flow with his own spirit to bring it about, then I have a confidence and a boldness. It's like, what can man do unto me? Nothing. I can go forth in boldness. And that is the boldness and the courage that the church is to have as we face the darkness that just seems to be engulfing and becoming deeper and deeper and going more pervasively in every area of life. And so it says the spirit of understanding gives clarity. We're no longer dull. Our ears are no longer dull because of the prophetic and the teaching flow from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the spirit of wisdom and understanding will give you the ability to teach and to pass on this truth. But before you do it, you have to understand it. You have to embrace it. You have to go there. It shares in Colossians 1, 9, and 10. It says, for this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you be filled with the deep and clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the way and purpose of God and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Hallelujah. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Because now you're seeing this picture. You're seeing this picture clearer. And so as a result of being engulfed in this picture, it's going to transform you in the abilities of what you do. It will produce good work in every area. It will produce much fruit because it will reflect the one in whom you're in the presence of, the one in whom you are dwelling in his presence. This is not a visitation. This is a habitation. And this is where when we go from glory to glory, when he said, come up hither, okay, you got to let go of the earth. You got to let go of the world. Your feet have to not touch it. One of the things Apostle prayed on the prayer line this week was the fact that when we go on this mountain, we can have the mountains of influences that have been corrupted. We cannot go in there in companion with the enemy of that mountain. We cannot partake in the things that the enemy would tempt us with and then try to go and do some work in that mountain. But we have to let it go. We have to lean not to the false, I love it, this misconceived priorities, these wrong dependencies, and we have to know human motive. And the way we know that is to understand the way God's Spirit will give us an understanding. That's that discernment that you will have, and you'll know that's just not of God. You'll have that knowledge, and you'll have that wisdom, and that will bring you into an understanding to see the real picture and then to be able to share that with people. It is not a hoping and groping. I'm not sure, but I believe this is the way. No, this is where God himself, through Holy Spirit, turns the light on, and you know just where you're going. But you don't have to walk with your sight. You can't walk with your sight, but you know where you're going because you're following the flow of the rivers of anointing of the Holy Spirit. He is pouring it out on her, and we will dwell in that quiet assurance and confidence that we're in him. I don't know, I'm not a water person, but I know water is a calming thing. When you sit by the ocean and you watch it, and there's just a calmness that it brings upon you, a relaxing a state, because it's like it's doing it all by itself, and you're just flowing with it, kind of just flowing back and forth with. That's just a quiet assurance. Like, you don't have to get anxious about it or concerned about it or think you got any part in making it happen. You just enjoying the journey, and that is what this spirit of understanding will give us, a place where our eyes are understanding what God is showing. It causes the eyes of our understanding to be illuminated. The light comes on, the understanding, the hope of your calling. I love that scripture, and your inheritance. It causes a confidence and a holy boldness. In Isaiah 32:15-17, it says that when the Spirit is poured out on high, you dwell in that quiet confidence, that quiet assurance. And so this is something that God will perfect in us, and we will rest in it. That's how our spirit rests while we work. This is how we don't get weary, because we're resting in the quiet confidence that is God doing it. It's Holy Spirit. We're in that river of anointing, and it will just flow. When you're really caught up in the Spirit, you really are not concerned with anything. And some people may afterwards tell you, you know what you did? I was surprised you didn't, da-da-da-da. It's because you have no, you're not disconnected, but you are drawn into that place where there are no limits, that place where there's no fear, that place where God is totally in charge. And so he said, I love it, he shared the fact that when he had an experience of watching a person speaking, and he had decided in his heart that this individual was the most arrogant person he had ever heard. And I love it. It says, all of a sudden, he heard the Lord say. And that's the place when we dwell and abide in him. We, as the author says, you want to know that you know.
Did we lose overseer?
I think
so.
You
guys lose your audio?
Hello?
We're trying to get her on. We can't hear her. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She's getting reconnected, so one moment. We just got to wage a good warfare for this word that is transformational.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I guess the enemy didn't want y'all to hear that part, but I'm telling you, the Lord will definitely get it to you. And I don't know where it cut off at, but we were talking about this holy boldness that comes from the confidence of the flow of the river of understanding in our life and in our spirit. And as he takes us from glory to glory, and as we get in this process of releasing, embracing, knowing, and obeying the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he brings us to a place where we have full confidence and assurance. We have this confidence, we have this assurance that removes fear. I love it. It says confidence. Somewhere the author shares it. Understanding fight fear, because you've seen the picture and you know what the blueprint looks like. You know who made the blueprint. You know how long the blueprint has been made, and you know the how long it shall stand, because the word of God shares that to us. And so we were talking about this gentleman that the author heard preaching and speaking, and how he thought about him, how he was the most arrogant person he had ever heard. But he said all of a sudden he heard the Lord say, and that's that place where understanding, that spirit of understanding will get us into the place where when you hear, you know what you know, and you know that what you are hearing is the voice of God. And that's an immediate, that's immediate interaction with your spirit, and immediately you get attention and you listen. And so he said, what you call pride, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord told him, what you call pride, I call it confidence. What you have been calling humility has been a stench to my nostril. And I thought that it really shook me when I first read it. I was like, wow, he hates it. I thought he wants humility. But he said, what we are calling humility, again, that's because we don't understand. We don't know, and we are not wise in the way of the Lord. We do it according to our flesh. And so we think that's how it's supposed to be. And God is saying, you need to know what I say when I say humility, because what you say and think is a stench into my nostrils. And that's something very, very displeasing and something that's repulsive, a stench to your nostrils. And so those ways that we have, when we are in them according to our understanding, it's a stench into the nostril of God. And he rejects that. That has to be burnt up, because it is not acceptable. It is not eternal, and it is not divinely inspired. It does not come from that flow of the river of understanding, of knowledge, and of wisdom that flows from heaven. So he wants us to operate in this boldness and really to be able to discern it, understand it when you see it in someone else. See it according to the Spirit, and because God has connected the dots for you and you see what the picture is and the blueprint, you'll see how they fit. And we won't be so quick to judge another person and to count them out, and not sometimes we refuse to hear what some people say. You know, but we have to make sure that what is being said is through the Holy Spirit. And then when I say we have to make sure, we have to dwell in a place where we will hear the voice of God and know that we know what we know, and know that what we know that we know, he is saying it to us. And so I think I turned the page. No, I didn't. Okay. All right. And so what the author continues to share with us as it relates to this spirit of understanding, it breaks off fear because of the assurance that we receive. It says Jesus operated in both the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom. Even at 12 years old, he had more understanding and wisdom than the learned Pharisees and Sadducees. So when we think about them, they had that knowledge. They had lots of knowledge. They knew the Bible. They knew the writings. They read them on a daily basis. That was a part of them. But it lets you know here that that is not all we need. We can't just know the word, because you can read it, you can memorize it. But if you do not have an understanding of why he gave it, then you're going to miss it. Because one of the things that Christ did, he took the knowledge that they had, and that was all the Old Testament stuff, and he built on it. He took one thing, and then he added the precept behind it. That's the understanding of it. So first, sometimes we just have to do the law. Thou shalt not kill. Then you understand that, and then you get the wisdom. Oh, if I kill, I'll go to jail, so that will I'll lose my freedom. So now you got a wisdom of not doing it. But now Christ comes to say, thou shalt not kill, because God is the one that created it, and only he should be the one to, remember, he got this blueprint for it. So now you understand that you're messing with God's plan, not just another person's life or freedom, not just your life or freedom, but the fact is that you get an understanding of the bigger picture. And you have people say, well, I can see the big picture now. Sometimes when you just see a part of it, if you act upon this, that part you see, then you can be often in error because it has to fit into the entire picture. And so when you connect the dots, it may start looking like an ear of corn when it's really the ear on a cow, okay? And you need to see the whole thing. And that's what the spirit of understanding gives us. And so Christ had that in the temple at 12 years old. He had the understanding, the wisdom, and the knowledge, which the Pharisees didn't have. They had the knowledge. They definitely had the knowledge, and they had their own understanding of it. But they did not have the deep mystery of why that knowledge was even given to them, because it was foundational for the next step that would give them the understanding of how that knowledge fits into the blueprint of God and thereby how it should be used. It is a time for us to become the light on the hill that raises up a standard. Take it from just the words of the page and give it life, the life of Christ lived out in you. It's as happy as the man who finds wisdom. He said, but the man who gains understanding. So it is something that you have to gain. It is something that you have to seek after. It is something, and I shouldn't say seek after, because if you maintain your position, we'll say, in the vine, then you're going to gain it automatically. It's what's going to come. Don't impede its process into your life by leaning on your own understanding, but rather throw your understanding out the way so that it can flow into the place that you need to go. And so it says he believes the Lord is about to release or is releasing. I love it. This book is so timely on the church at operation of a fresh anointing of the spirit of wisdom and understanding to walk in dunamis power. And that's it. It's that power of might, which we're going to look at that spirit as well. It's the time. It's the time for the church to walk in his dunamis power. That's that power to not fear, but to stand boldly. That's that power to release that witty, that wise, creative ability that the world has not seen. That's that power to be in peace when all around you is in chaos and people wondering how, why. They have an understanding of the blueprint. God has revealed his mysteries. He said, we're going to look at that as we go through that. He says the world is becoming darker, and God's people are called to be that light, that illumination. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. They have been illuminated. They have been, the scales have fallen off, and we can see spiritually, which is the true blueprint of that which is important. Although God's ways are invisible to us, they are not meaningless. By faith, we know it is all clear in his eyes. It's clear in his eyes. I can't see the picture, but I know he knows it. The spiritual understanding causes us to know that we are safe when we follow him. He knows what's coming, even though we do not. Wisdom and understanding brings life to the soul. No longer fear, no longer trembling, no longer fearing the rejection or fearing failure or fearing shame or guilt. We're free. That understanding and that wisdom of how God's plan and blueprint is going to work, not how, but that it will work, frees us, and our soul can live in the place of our original creation. He also shares that we cannot rely on the way of the Lord or the way of others without understanding. We cannot relate to the ways of the Lord or the ways of others without understanding. It is understanding that brings compassion to flow through us. The spirit of understanding allows us to look into something beyond the facts and to know why it actually is the way it is. It says that Jesus opened the disciples' eyes of understanding that they could comprehend the scripture. So the hidden things, the secret things of God, you can read them and you can have knowledge of them and you can repeat them at the right time. But if you do not understand the purpose of them, the fact that you do not understand beyond the facts that you see, then you are not walking in that understanding that will bring enlightenment, that will take the covers off. It will disclose the hidden things and the secret things of God. It says the hidden treasures become known to us. We receive insight into how God works. Understanding means a putting together or a comprehending or grasping of his word. In other words, he turns the light on for us. So that again, you can read a scripture, you can memorize it, but you don't have an understanding if you cannot apply it, okay, that's wisdom, in the will and the way of the Lord, that's understanding to bring about that manifestation of the picture of that blueprint. We just keep going back to the blueprint. And then it says in Psalms 119:27, it says, this is a good prayer. Make me understand the ways of your precepts. And so to understand the way, why did you say that? And that's what Christ came. He came to tell them, yes, you know, you're to love your neighbor, but you're also to love your enemies as yourself and pray for them. You know, so he goes beyond. We had the one dimension of love, and then he gave the complete God view dimension of love. He came to give definition to all of the commandments that God gave. He gave them deep definitions of, and to understand, that's why God gave it to you in the first place. It says we must have God's understanding of his wisdom before we can begin to apply it to our life, and definitely before we can pass it on to others. Because you can always tell somebody else what to do, but unless you have the wisdom and understanding of what you're sharing, then it's not going to work. They're going to say, well, I don't know how to do that. You have to have the understanding that brings you into that calm assurance and allows that creative ability to paint that picture so that they can see it. And so we look at this being ignorant because of our false beliefs, and that goes to search for significance. And that's why he wants the light to come on, so you'll know what your human motives have been. You could be saved and sanctified, but your motives have not been purified. And so this wisdom and this knowledge and this understanding allows that truth to turn a light on what we do. And then we can see we're dependent on the wrong thing. I was just dependent on reading my Bible every day. That's not enough. You have to read it in the spirit. You have to read it to receive the understanding of it from heaven. And it shares what Daniel did. Daniel did it, but he said they said for Daniel, and that's interesting because that's what we're doing now. It says that in Daniel he was mourning 3 full weeks. He ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into his mouth, nor did he anoint himself until 3 weeks had been fulfilled. And he did this because he wanted to understand. He wanted to believe. He wanted to understand what he was supposed to be doing. He wanted to understand the instructions that God was giving. He wanted that understanding so he could incline his ear to wisdom and apply his heart to understanding. And that should be our prayer. When we pray and fast, Lord, I want to incline my ear to your wisdom and apply my heart to understanding. And apply means cause my heart, that's in Proverbs 2:2. And the Daniel's in Daniel 10:2-3. And so to apply it in my heart means to allow my heart to be overcome with the glory of God, overcome with the truth, overcome with the revelation. God's glory is his reputation. Let my heart be overcome with God's reputation. And so when it is, you know, then that's where the fear of the Lord comes. I reverence him, and I allow the river of his anointing to flow through me because I'm overcome by the understanding that blueprint. Oh, my goodness, I see the blueprint. He's let me see it. It's about me. It is great. It is glorious. And so then the author shares with us three or four scriptures as it relates to knowledge. You see, by faith we know these scriptures and we read it, but we have to understand it. And by the spirit of understanding, we learn to treasure them, use them as they were meant to be used to create fruit in our life, to produce it 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. And it says the one is in John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And we read that, but we don't believe that. But when it says he will teach you all things, don't say, I don't know. Say, I'm waiting on the teacher to tell me. Okay? Because it's guaranteed. He said he will teach you. And then he said he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. So in other words, he'll connect the dots. Now you'll say, oh, that's how that fits together, as he teaches you to it. Give understanding to how God works. Oh, that's it. That's that light bulb coming on. And then in 1 John 5:20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. And I love it. It's like, this is the true God. Understand how different he is from those other things that are gods in our life. And even though we go, oh, no. Yeah. Because there are many things that we put before him. We know he says this, but we do that, which means we have done, we have put another thing in the place where God should dwell. And that's because we don't have understanding that he is the true God. And what does true God mean? You know, that's just something we say, oh, God is true. But what does that mean? There is so a depth of truth in that true God that when we meditate on it and the Holy Spirit starts showing you what that means, then the fear of the Lord will definitely flow in your life, so that when something else would want you to do it, you don't fear that thing. You have the fear and reverence of God, and you give him his true place in your life. And then the scripture that I just love, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But the hope of your calling should cancel out every complaint, every whine, every woe is me, every pity party, every I didn't think God would work this way. The hope of your calling, you need to know what it is. And it is not earthly in any way. It is not material in any way. It is a glory that comes from heaven. It's just like that manna that they had never seen before, but it was oh so satisfying. And so it shows the invisible wisdom of God in action to get the right picture. And that's like that Old Testament, New Testament. So the Old Testament gave a portion. The New Testament connect the dots and gave the full picture as we look at the life of Christ. That's why we study. That's in this consecration, consecrating through Christ. Everything he did was a step or a flow of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, fear of the Lord, and obviously the anointing being upon him. And I think I left one out. What is it? Counsel is always left out, and counsel is so important. And when we say I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to seek the counsel of heaven. He got the blueprint. Let me see what's the next step for connecting the dots for this blueprint. We want the counsel of heaven. The counsel of heaven. Glory to God. And then the last one we'll look at is that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and obtaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. That's Colossians 2 and 2. There is a richness in the full understanding of even why we should be knitted together and why this love should be encouraging. And so this comes with understanding and to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, both in the Father and Christ. So that's two. That's two, the Father and Christ. You have to have this knowledge and wisdom in the Father and in Christ. And so often we are learning the names of God, and we are realizing that all three have a name. Well, we need the richness and the full assurance of each, understanding what each one brings into our journey, into our life, into the blueprint being manifested. That's why the gifts and the callings, there's some that Father gives, some the Son gives, and some the Holy Spirit gives. And so it's important to know. It's important to know, so then you'll have the wisdom how to use whatever that gift is. Is it for manifestation to the world? Is it for edifying the church? Is it for establishing the citizenship of representation of Christ on the earth? This is why we need to have a full understanding of these things, and the Holy Spirit will give it. And so we wanted to end with the fact that in the prayer that they give us, and it says, it says, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and pour out your spirit of understanding to fill us with the river of it. Release a connection with your heart and your thoughts so we can understand exactly what you say. Clarity there. Spirit of wisdom, give us clarity in Jesus' name. Spring forth rivers of wisdom and understanding. We pray for activation. Flow like a river of living water, continuous, unceasing. And Holy Spirit, take the limits off so we can say everything is possible with you. And again, that is the mandate for this season and the church. Take the limits off. This is how you take the limits off. You pray and release. It says limits come off because they lose their control on us when we see, discern what God is saying. The light comes on, and the limits seem petty and just, insignificant. The light comes off, so everything is possible. And we say it, we believe it. Now we will understand how it's going to happen. It is going to happen when we go with the flow of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold anointing that he wants to flow in us. So we thank God for your presence. I've just talked and talked. The lines are open. Share any insight, revelation, input, or even investigation that you may have had as you read this chapter. Amen.
Amen. Overseer, this is Apostle KP, and I just wanted to, even on last week when we were talking about the spirit of wisdom and being humble, and so when you were saying it, and even when I read it, I thought about the scripture that said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God that you may be exalted in due time. And so for me, it was like, okay, I was trying to make that humility be something that was God ordained. And then as Holy Spirit began to reveal, he said, who did I say humble yourself to? I didn't say humble yourself to man. I said humble yourself under me. I'm just saying, so that just goes to the the track that we read these scriptures, we do it in our own understanding, or if I can say it, we read these scriptures and we hear them from someone who's trying to get you to submit to them and not to God. And so they give us a misinterpretation so that, you know, they can keep you bound under them. You know, we have a lot of leaders and pastors who are threatened by other people in the membership and things of that nature, and they do things that are not God-oriented. That's why it's imperative for us individually to be able to read the word. So I had to repent. You know, God, I've been humbling myself under man.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
mm-hmm.
humbling myself under man, coming up under the and that's not a bad thing, but when God is raising you up to do something new, when he's raising you to do something unprecedented in this time, my God, yes, it's imperative that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, that he may pull you up from your lowly place. My God, this teaching has been so phenomenally awesome for me. The misinterpretations, things that I've come into the knowledge in my own understanding, you know, and even the prayers that he gives us throughout the book, you know, to begin to re-imprint some things in our heart, to look at it a different way. So I'm excited with the word on today and just even that scripture alone, to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. And even as you're talking about him pulling us up from our places of stay, pulling us up out of our places of hiding, pulling us up out of our places of feeling like we're not worthy, he says, you know, when you humble yourself under me, when you come into the agreement, when you bow down and humble yourself for the sevenfold spirit of God today, I'm going to raise you up, you know, that I may exalt you, that I'm going to pull you up before great and mighty men. That's what he did for Daniel. That's what he did, you know, for Paul. That's what he did. He pulled them up under his mighty hand, that they were exalted before men. So I just thank God for his word on today, and I thank you for your teaching, because I was on mute, but I was over here saying, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Because you brought such illumination to the word of God. So I'm so appreciative of you and the anointing that flows on you. Thank you all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As you were speaking in that scripture, one of the sections in the chapter on wisdom is that the spirit of wisdom will bring you promotion. That's promotion. Mm-hmm. They'll promote you. That's God's promotion. That's lifting us up. And so it is such a powerful way to keep receiving the mysteries of a scripture, just one. So to think to do it to the whole book, my God, what a glorious, 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 glorious season this is for us as we receive this revelation. Is there anyone else?
Oh, this Pastor Rogers, I want to just share with you concerning understanding and how God opens our eyes and reveals to us that sometimes we don't even understand what we're doing when we're preparing someone else. And one of my mentors, I was over the what we call them, new nurses, we call them chickens. But anyway, as they came in, it was five that followed me, and I was their preceptor. And there was one that she did everything as if it was me. So when I got in the infection control position, I trained her, and she did it the same way. If I wasn't there, I couldn't tell I wasn't there. So anyway, they were downsizing, and they were going to get rid of some of the nurses. So what I did, I went to the boss, and I asked her, could she have my position? And I was going to retire. And then the Holy Spirit, when I came back to my office, the Holy Spirit said, who are you to give a position that doesn't belong to you? And I was like, wow. And then he explained to me And this was this is why I like wisdom, so wisdom and understanding, because he explained to me that no position was mine to give. And I thought that because I had trained her and she followed the instructions again, I was thinking that she was entitled to that position. But as God showed us things, even though we're listening to you and we hear everything you said, because I was like Apostle KP, I wanted to butt in, but I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. Just let me listen and hear. God said, if we hear what he has to say, he would do it anyway. And Mr. Thomas, you are, or most of you are senior, she's still in the position. She's been in the position longer than I was. So I just thank God, because if we hear and if we can be steered and hear what God is saying, he'll give us the understanding. So I just thank God for now being able to really understand who he is. And I got one more question, because the spirit of the Lord upon us, I looked at that being the spirit of love, and because it wasn't listed as love in this in the book, and it just keep going. That's what I'm hearing. Love, place love before you do anything. So I was like, I don't know if anybody else was hearing that, because one instructor told me that it was the spirit of rest, and I say no. He said it. The spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. So, are you hearing anything on that one?
Well, you know, one of the things that the author brings out, which I thought was really good, was the fact that because you can't have the spirit of love if you don't have the spirit of the Lord first, because you won't know how.
Thank you.
And so the spirit of the Lord is something that's why we get it. So we can have that spirit of love. But the spirit of the Lord is the power that rests upon. That's the mantle of Jesus Christ. He has placed it on us. You know, he said he gives us his robe of righteousness. That's the entire mantle. It's not just love. It definitely is motivated by love, but it is more than that. That's why we're able to handle the wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might and knowledge of heaven, because we have the mantle of Jesus Christ placed on our shoulder. That's the power to bear it, and then to allow it to flow through us. If you ever been in rapids or seen water move very, very fast, okay, everybody can't abide in that kind of water. They would get swept away. And the power and the anointing that is behind the spirit, understanding, counsel, and wisdom and knowledge that the Holy Spirit is releasing in this season has to come only upon those who have allowed the mantle of Jesus Christ to rest on them, not putting it on and off as you do this and go to church. You put it on and, you know, you got a priest, so you get ready, you put it on. This is every breath you take, being an emulation, I hope that's right, of it, and not so much an imitator, but you are being created. As you remember, the scripture says, it is not I that live any longer, it is Jesus Christ. That's
yes.
The spirit of the Lord. That is the spirit of the Lord that allows us and even communicates to us. You can't even hear love and the true heavenly meaning of it without that robe of righteousness to be upon you, because there's so many areas we do not love like Christ loves. Do not, absolutely not, and we'll say it and say, God has to fix me. Well, that's not the spirit of the Lord, because the spirit of the Lord, if they beat you, if they spit on you, if they, you know, lie against you, if they put a nail in your feet, in your hand, and your every place else, and go, the spirit of the Lord was a spirit that had the power to do it, to endure it, because he had no sin. He had no association with principalities from any of the mountains that was not the mountain of the Lord. And because of that, he was able to walk in the midst of all the other darkness and principalities victoriously. And that's what we are to do, and that's what it, that is the only way we can do it, is in the Spirit, with the Spirit of the Lord being upon us. Because remember, God don't see us, nor does the enemy see us. They see Jesus. Okay? And part
Amen.
Of that manifestation is the love that we have for our each other, ourselves, our God, and all God's creation. All God's creation. And so often we don't think of that as a part of what I should love or how I should love and how I should treat it. So that's a good insight. That's good, a wonderful question. And I believe that it is one that God wants us truly to understand why he said the spirit of love, and I mean the spirit of the Lord and not the spirit of love. He said this purposefully because it was a truth, it was a mystery that needed to be revealed to us so we would have an understanding and we would have strength and we would have counsel and we would have might and we will have victory. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen. I receive that.
Amen. Good, good question. Interaction. God is just, he's busy. He's on it. Not that he ever wasn't. He is on it and on us. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning over here.
To learn and to pull. He is drawing us, hallelujah, to this up hither place. The glory to glory to glory, and it is for his glory, for his glory. That humility, the further up we go, the more humble we become because we are in the presence of the true God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Anybody else?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning, Elder.
You said a lot. There were a lot of things that you said, so as you go to something else, I think of something else and forget the first thought. But way at the beginning of the conversation when we were talking about, wisdom, there was this one verse, and it was Exodus 36:1. It says, and this is a portion of it, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, they'll do according to all that the Lord has commanded. And when I was reading it, to me that was just so awesome that because the author kind of couched it with, when you have the spirit of wisdom, it removes all limitations. And to think about these artisans, the Lord just kind of, I don't know, I guess you'd say downloaded in them what they needed to do to create the sanctuary the way he wanted, so I don't know, that just kind of jumped out at me that when we have the spirit of wisdom, the things that have maybe been tripping us up will be removed because we're, like you said, we're seeing it,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing it with the blueprint. And then when you were talking about Daniel 10,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting when he was talking about the angelic visitation, but that he said he heard him the first time. That really jumped
mm-hmm.
out at me. And and he said, and I am here because of that,
which is also awesome.
Not only did I hear you, that's why I'm here. I'm here on your request, on your behalf because you requested it. And then, even after then, so you kind of get a timeline that it was a while in between these things because he said, I heard you the first time. So he has been requesting multiple times, but then to say that I'm here because you requested, and then to tell him that, like, the time still isn't now, but I'm just here to tell you what's going to happen to your people. Revelation. So, just that whole patience and waiting, which is terribly hard for me. But, just the whole idea, but he shows how He gave him just a little bit more, like kind of just hanging in there, I would imagine that it might have been frustrating if, obviously he didn't ask more than once. So that kind of jumped out at me.
And
amen.
In the whole idea of understanding, kind of on this is kind of twofold, but you know, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding as we go into these different places, just as religious bodies. So, you know, you hear a lot of talk about diversity and racial reconciliation, what that really means, what that doesn't mean.
Okay.
You know, and I think that the people of God have to not only understand, but have to have a solution that's more than we're sitting next to someone who looks different than us. You know, what does that what does that really mean? And I think that there are some truths that will bless us in a way that we're this is gonna sound really crazy. That I think that the bulk of people of the diaspora of African descent have not yet even cracked the surface of what the word says about us, where we are in an African presence in the Old Testament. That's another whole thing. But I think that that is being unearthed, and it's going to be, when we talk about exposing things, and it's not exposing for the sake of exposition, but that the truth sets us free, makes us free indeed. And I think that there are a lot of gaps in some of the things that we don't really discuss. Anyway, I'm not going to go down on that thing, but I have one last thing, because that's going to just take me into tomorrow. I appreciate your indulgence. The difference between a river and a stream. I remember when Apostle was talking a couple weeks ago about the rivers and the wells, and I looked up rivers and streams. I guess I should have looked up wells too. But a river is permanent, and a river will go through a valley compared to a stream, which is temporary, or a brook, which does not go through a valley. And to me, that just had a significance just when you think of the word. And he says he will give us rivers of living waters, so that when we have to go to these hard places, and when we are in those valleys, to know that that river is still there. It doesn't dry up like a stream does. Anyway, so that's all. That's all.
Amen. Excellent insight.
For real, that's all.
Wonderful. I love the research, because it does bring a new dimension to the things that he is revealing to us. And he wants us, I think you call that some kind of studying, maybe Apostle called it, a way of studying, mapping, what is that? Scriptural mapping, how important that is in this season and in this place that we're in. And that's what that is. That's finding everywhere that this is made a reference to from the Word of God. And then I think we'll understand just how true and powerful the Word of God really is, because it's in history. And you can find it in their books as well as our books. Hallelujah. And so, and
and I think that's going to be the cataclysmic, I think, or pivotal moment when mainstream just has to face, similar to some of the realities. You know, it doesn't all come in a day, but there will be a time, I think, where when we talk about God's chosen people, where the hue might look a little different. Just leave it like that.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I see, and maybe that's understanding, connecting the dots. I can understand how technology is going to do that, because so much information was hidden from us naturally, because we wouldn't take the time to go through all of those books and read everything on a subject. But because of technology, it is available to us instantaneously. You type in any word, and you will find its resource in every area in any language, and it's right there. And because of that, because scientists have already concluded that the way the earth was formed was more as it was in scripture than reality. But there's not a lot of scientists, and there's not a lot of people who have access to what they're looking at and how they're studying it. But we have that access now because of computers and because of 5Gs and all that stuff, whatever, all of that. Because of that, it is right at our fingertips and at the fingertips of those who say there is no God. And as the fingertips of those who say it is a God, but they don't want him, they will find some things out that are documented that will cause them to question the stand that they're taking. We did a one thing of the divine revelation of hell, and there were actually recordings of groanings and moanings and screams recorded down in deep cave drilling sites where they were digging for diamonds and stuff like that. But they had gone so far down till they started hearing these signs and recording them, and the things that manifest after them was truly, to everybody involved, an indication that the hell is real. And so it was such a phenomenal thing, and a lot of people didn't know about it. But I think the more and more that technology is available to us, it has these resources, these sinkholes, these different things, these hot springs. All of these things are going to be evident that the Word of God is true and real and undeniable. So, praise the Lord. Thank you for that insight and for that, pastor's. Always, she's prophetic and she's in the future. And this scriptural mapping, something that we probably was doing on some level, but now we're gonna. First of all, it's given a name and a definition, and it's given a place that's going to be required and necessary if we are going to go out into the world and to confront the darkness. You've got to know, okay? And it's not the Holy Spirit is not going to tell us he is, but he's also going to bring back to our remembrance, okay? So we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to seek those things, even that are of the enemy of God, so that you'll know his face. So praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? I think someone else was beginning to speak. Okay.
Are we serious?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, when you just said that about the last comment that you made, it made me think of something else. In the when you study like comparative religions, and to me this is exciting because of the Indian contingency, and I guess I would say also the African contingency, but especially because of the Indian contingency. Because I don't know very much about that at all. But in some of the readings that I have been doing, that's showing that in every religion there is some type of a character, for lack of a better word, that has a quote-unquote eternal type of existence and has a quasi-redemptive type of characteristic. And I think that as we in the body of Christ explore those things, not for us because we know who the Redeemer is, but explore those things to be able to communicate more clearly from a place of understanding and wisdom with folks who come from totally different cultures, that will accelerate the proliferation of the gospel in those kinds of places when you can use where people are. You know, you always hear where, oh, if you're helping somebody out of a situation, you need to meet them where they are. And I think for so long, Christianity has just been, here, you do this. You take Christianity and you place it on top of whoever you are, whatever you do, and then God's going to love you into the extent that you can you know, fit into this Judeo-Christian European model, then God loves you. But that really isn't what the scripture says. You know, you meet people where they are, and you show them how what the word says, and maybe and the Holy Spirit will give that wisdom to show them. You're looking for, you're speaking, but this is not the answer. This is the answer, but it is a common ground. If I'm making sense, if you understand what I'm saying, but you know,
Avatar,
you know, has a lot of similarities to a redemptive eternal being in some of the Indian culture.
Absolutely, you know, and I know this is really going over, but one of the things as you were speaking, and we know that God is the God of gods, Lord of lords, and I think we have it at a very low level. When we say lords or gods, we're thinking of, you know, Lord Farquhar or somebody in England or whatever. I believe God is the God of the universe. And there are lords and there are gods that we don't even have ideas of. And he's letting us know when you do find out about them, you'll know I'm their God as well. Okay. There is a revelation that is coming through of the grasp, vastness of who God is. And as the apostle is over here saying, the cosmos, there are things that exist that we are not, our minds are even able to fathom some of it. I know when they went to Mars and they said it was like 300 billion miles or something away, and it took them 9 months to 8 months to get there. You know, and it's like, wow, how fast must they be going? But there is such a vastness, but in that vastness, God wants us to know wherever you go and wherever you find, whatever you find, you need to know I'm the God of that too. I did that too, and I am in charge. And so I think we're going to be so, he said, I'm going to amaze you. We're going to be so amazed. We're going to go, oh, wow. Now, we know God is great. He is vast. He is good. He is marvelous. We know those things. We have no idea what those things really mean. In the dictionary of heaven, my God, oh, my God, it just, woo, okay, praise the Lord. So, you know, this is that next realm. Look at your prophetic word. This is what God has released to us. And it's not for everybody. It is not for everybody. And some people, you may go and tell them they think you're crazy. But it's okay. This is what your blueprint looks like, okay? This is what my blueprint looks like. This is the mission and the vision of this and this section that we are under. And that makes a vast difference. And so the things that we do and what we're learning and what he is revealing is because of where he knows we have to go. And everybody don't go where everybody go. So we have to get that understanding and that insight. We got to let these dots connect. It's marvelous. It's just marvelous. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful Sunday. Come with your praise banners, worship noisemakers, your talik, your
tambourine.
Thank you. I was trying to think of what it was called. Amen. But come to worship. Your ribbons, your whatever you have to worship and rejoice and celebrate. This will be year one of the miracle of the Laborers for Christ building.
Hallelujah.
Walking into and what has been up against, this church has been up against in these 365 days, only the Lord fully knows. But he has revealed and apostle has had to handle quite a bit of it. And so it really is a miraculous time of celebration. We just praise God. We praise God. And the women, warring, worshiping women, will come forth this Sunday in praise and worship and repentance. Repenting to God because he desires so much more. That's a reasonable service that we really have not given. And so we thank him for his mercy and his long suffering. Is there anyone else that wants to share? Papa? No. Okay. And look for your email starting a 33-day prophetic consecration ascension. And you'll get details of it. Be prepared. We're having communion this Sunday and on Wednesday. Wednesday will be Zoom. That'll be a new thing for spiritual growth and development. We will be on Zoom, so look for the Zoom Connect information. So if there be nothing else, enjoy this awesome weather we have. I get the snow, and y'all get warm weather because it's still snow where I am. Lots and lots of it. Has not melted yet. So everybody can enjoy the sun and the snow, as well as the nice weather. Enjoy yourself, but stay social distance. Please don't let your guard down because things seem better or because you did it so long you're tired of doing it. It is still a very a real condition that we need to be very, very mindful of. But enjoy, embrace, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bye.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. Amen.